section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join Andrew as we discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. So let's get right into the news. Aaron, what do we have for the news? What is the one thing we need to talk about?
Well, sadly, in my opinion, the greatest color commentator in the history of wrestling, Bobby the Brain Heenan, unfortunately passed away, complications with throat cancer. And you know, he'd been kind of on his last limb. I think it was 2005 is when he was inducted in the WWE Hall of Fame. And even then, he just did not look the same. And, you know, slowly over time, they had to take away parts of the, you know, his throat and his lower jaw. And it just, you know, quality of life was not there. He did live a very long life, and he provided us with a lot of really great memories. But unfortunately, you know, his time had come.
Yeah, I agree with Aaron on this one. He is one of the best, if not the best, managers slash commentators. And what few people really do remember, he was a great wrestler, too. I mean, he was the Weasel. He was the Brain. He was so much and just so much entertainment, and he'll be a huge loss. And I hope that they can study tapes of him and everything and try to be that kind of commentator in future, if they use that at the NXT to breed more commentators like him, would be excellent.
I mean, he is literally the gold standard when you talk about heel commentators. I mean, him and Gorilla were the best team that I've ever had the pleasure of hearing. And sadly, much to what Aaron had said, Bobby had been dying for years, and the Brain had probably been gone for the last 10 and 12 years. So it's not a big surprise. It's just sad, and we've said this before, and we'll say it again. And you know, you look at the legends we grew up with: Warrior, Piper, Savage, Dusty Rhodes. Now I add Bobby Heenan to, you know, the WrestleMania card in the sky because another one's gone.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, you just mentioned something. I'm wondering, when are we going to get to the point where we look at a WrestleMania card and see that every one of them is passed? Because you know,
Hogan dies.
When Hogan and Slaughter. Mr. T.
I mean, Hogan is the one that when he passes away, I think you'll have a card where everyone will have passed away.
That's really something to think about. So yeah, it is sad that the Brain has passed away. I you know, it's one of those things, like, eventually we're gonna lose everyone, and we've, you know, grown up watching professional wrestling, so eventually all the stars will pass on. So let's talk about Raw. Let's talk about Lesnar and Strowman. Roger, did you think that actually lived up to the hype on like how they were promoting this?
No, this was actually unbelievably disappointing in my opinion. And the reason was is that they stripped away what makes Strowman special, is that despite being a big guy, he is a spot monkey. What he does are amazing things that you enjoy, whether it's flipping an ambulance or throwing a chair. You know, we don't talk about Braun Strowman because he has technical classics. We talk about Braun Strowman because he does crazy things like throw the Big Show through a cage or throw a chair like it's a baseball at Roman Reigns' face. So when you basically have him wrestle Brock Lesnar in a straight-up match, it's boring. I want to see him chokeslam Lesnar through a table. I want to see Brock do an F5 off a stage. Like, if you were going to do this match, you should have put a stipulation that let them play to Braun's strengths, because to me, I knew Lesnar was walking out. I just wanted to see what Strowman would try to put him through, and really, they wrestled a basic 10-minute match. And this is not the way that you protect Strowman. This isn't the way that you make him look impressive. You know, we weren't going to talk about how good the match was. We were going to talk about, did you see what Strowman just did? And there was nothing from this match that was worth talking about.
I agree completely. There wasn't even an announcer table broken. The timekeeper place was left intact. I mean, they could have done a tackle through there, a move through there, something along those lines, but there was nothing. It stayed all in the ring. You know, for as much of as good of a match as Samoa Joe had with Lesnar, this was disappointing. And the hype was there. I mean, this was an exciting thing. I was excited to come back from out of town just to watch No Mercy, just to see this match and the John Cena Roman Reigns match. And this one, it was boring. I want to be able to go back and watch it stand alone because, you know, my whole thoughts of the whole No Mercy card was boring. So I'm going to go watch it again. But overall, I just there was nothing. This was had no main event feel. And it's really disappointing knowing that Brock had some great matches, one against Mojo, one against Goldberg, which weren't long matches, but those were the matches that I was expecting and something along those lines. And it just did not come through.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that Roger and I had talked about when we were watching the show was that we would have loved to have seen a table spot. Like, that would have been perfect. And I think that would have saved the match, even, in my opinion. But right before that, you had Reigns and Cena do the table spot. And I don't know. I mean, I think to what Doug had said, like, you know, the barricade, that would have been perfect for Cena and Roman Reigns. And then you, you know, save the table for Braun and Lesnar. But yeah, it was just such a letdown, because when we saw them go at it in the four-way, like, we were hyped for it. And in that four-way, which was a good match, those two, when they had that conflict, it was really like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this now one-on-one. But as you guys had already mentioned, not for the technical, but for the spectacle, you know? So it was disappointing. You know, star rating wise, I mean, this is like a 1 star, like 1.5, really. It was just like, really? This is kind of what you can do? It reminded me of like an 80s, you know, WWF match, honestly, like with like a Hercules, you know, or an Ultimate Warrior, you know, basically is what it was.
I know we've had this discussion before, but about finisher moves and doing one to finish your opponent. How about the fact that Braun did, what, maybe 4 or 5 power slams and Brock did 1 F5?
Yeah, I can see the argument with that, but also
a running power slam is only devastating because it's from Braun Strowman. It's not a really that devastating of a move in WWE lore, shall we say. And mm-hmm. then it's also Brock Lesnar, who is technically booked as the kayfabe end game boss, you know, A+ tier. So I mean, I don't disagree with you in the sense of like, I'm not a big fan of not protecting finishers, but it's just a running power slam. Like, it's not him kicking out of, you know, 4 consecutive AAs or anything crazy like that.
That is true. But now, one thing that the promos, you know, of course we have Paul Heyman talking for Brock Lesnar. Should we have had someone talk for Strowman though?
Who would you have talk for him?
That's what I mean, I thought about Enzo for the longest time, but I don't know if he would actually fit in that mix.
Braun Strowman doesn't really need a talker because his character is built around what he does, not what he says. Like, he's not going to be the guy who tells you he's crazy and going to kill you. He's the guy who flips an ambulance on you. Like, that, he is a scary dude. Like, he doesn't need to say anything. When he shows up, he says what he needs to say by driving you to, you know, the best thing he said to Brock Lesnar was when he picked him up and he drove him into the mat through the table. Like, that is all I want to hear from Braun. I don't need to see him, you know, give me a promo. I just want him to do crazy stuff. Throw a chair at somebody. I don't need you to talk.
So, Aaron, where do you think this is going to lead for Strowman now? Where does he go from here?
Well, on Raw, he took out Matt Hardy most recently and then Enzo as well. I'm guessing he's probably just going to kind of attack a lot of people until they have another opponent for him. My guess is that him and Reigns might go at it, maybe at the next pay-per-view, so that way Reigns can get his wins back after he kept losing, which realistically, I mean, it kind of, thinking about what the suspected main event is supposed to be for the next WrestleMania, which is supposed to be Reigns versus Lesnar. With that said, it would not surprise me then to have Reigns go through Strowman, you know, so Strowman would get back-to-back losses. I think the more interesting thing really is what's going to be next for Lesnar. Like, when are we going to see him next? Are we going to see him at Survivor Series, or is it going to be Royal Rumble? You know, because, and is he going to resign? You know, because that's the other big thing. If he resigns, what does that actually mean? You know, what's that going to look like for WWE?
And are they going to,
do you know, when is
the title on him too?
I can tell you who I want to see Braun Strowman face and who I think it would not only help Braun Strowman, but it'd be a great for their character, is Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt desperately needs a face turn. What better than to have Braun repeatedly just destroy him and let the crowd get behind Bray? But you see Bray trying to convert Braun back to his side, and Braun just keeps beating the crap out of him, and actually let Bray be more of the sympathetic underdog now. And you can let Braun do some crazy things to Bray, because Bray's a big guy. And you let those two feud for months, and you let Bray try to use psychological mind games on Braun, where Strowman just uses his ridiculous power. Those two could have a 4-month feud, and it could be really good. And it look, Bray Wyatt has nothing better to do. Well, he needs a face turn, in my opinion.
But at some point, he has to have a win, though.
And he only needs to win one of those matches against Braun Strowman.
So he just needs to win one at a pay-per-view. Because I don't think that it would mean much if it was just on a Raw, but if it was on a pay-per-view, it would be a different story.
Well, Braun doesn't have these types of matches on Raw. He only has them on pay-per-views.
You can have them have a cage match where Braun throws Bray through the cage. Like he did to Big Show. So Bray wins, but he doesn't really win, per se, if you get what I'm saying.
Tables match where he just happens to fall onto the table?
Yeah, like, you know, one of those things where, like, he basically gets dominated, but he wins the match.
Does he get scared from the worms on the ring?
That would actually be hilarious if you did, like, an elephant and mouse storyline where Braun is, like, terrified of something really tiny.
Like Enzo?
Yeah.
That's why he constantly beats him up, is because he's afraid of him.
We try to kill what we're afraid of.
Yep.
But I guess, so, you know, we have an idea what we'd do with Strowman, but Doug, what would we do with Lesnar?
With Lesnar right now, I think you have to hold him off to whatever the next big event is. I don't think they're going to make it to a WrestleMania to have Brock versus Reigns. I think that's got to happen at a Royal Rumble or a Survivor Series or something along the lines there. Because, like Aaron said, his contract's coming up, and you don't know if you're going to get him signed again. And I just think right now, with the ratings being down as it is, you need something to bring back ratings on Raw. I know it is NFL season, so they're just accrediting all their bad Monday Night Raw ratings to Monday Night Football, but they need something. And not having the title there right now is starting to get old. I thought it was something that they could always, you know, keep doing. It was every once in a while it was nice. Brock Lesnar is still a spectacle, but I thought the time was to get the title off of him was during that four-way match. And then you can have Reigns and whatever. Because you don't necessarily need to have – if you do have Brock, you don't have to have Brock versus or you can get the title off of Brock somewhere and then have Reigns versus Brock still at WrestleMania. If you would have had him lose it at that four-way, you could still have Reigns be the champion because he beat somebody else, but then Brock come back and say, well, you never beat me for it, so let's go. But they've already passed up that opportunity, so now I think it's got to be a Survivor Series or something along those lines. I don't think it should be WrestleMania. But where do you go? The only person so far that they're going to advertise or even come close to getting to beat Brock Lesnar is going to be Roman Reigns. And if you're going to book it that way, do you really have the time to wait till WrestleMania to do it?
Well, so I think, and this is a question I'm going to pose to you guys here, is let's say they go down the path where Reigns takes the title off Lesnar at WrestleMania. No one else can beat Lesnar except for Reigns. Reigns finally gets the win here. That also means that more than likely, Reigns would probably have to win the Royal Rumble, too. Theoretically. So the question I'm going to have, and let me ask you, Roger, first. Reigns wins the Royal Rumble. Fans are probably going to revolt. Reigns wins main event of WrestleMania again and beats Lesnar, and they're trying to have a face ceremony for him. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, is this where we see the fans completely tune out of the WWE? Like, is that what you would do? I mean, what do you think?
I would say that very similar to Cena when he was getting just a mega push of doing it, I think you're just going to see the fans stop caring. Like there was a point with Cena where he was kind of indifferent. And I think with Reigns where it's like, it's fait accompli where we just know that nothing's going to change with him and his promos aren't going to get any better. His matches are what they are. He's not the worst wrestler or anything by any means, but it's boring to see him as a face running the same formula. I mean, you don't have to have him win the Rumble because technically you could have SmackDown win again, but I think it's very obvious that you're going to have Reigns win the Rumble. They already did this. They did this in 32, and you saw the reaction to happen. So, you know, this is Vince's hill to die on, and it's very clear that he is going to do everything he can to try to make Roman Reigns the biggest star possible. And maybe when they run out of options and people for him to put over, because once he beats Lesnar, he's literally done everything. He's retired Undertaker. He's now beaten Brock Lesnar. He's beaten John Cena. He's beaten every single other big name in the company. I guess they could have him fight The Rock. I mean, there's literally nothing else left for him to do. He's already beaten Braun Strowman. It's not like he has that mountain to conquer. Like, there's nothing for him to do besides turn heel like we've been screaming for, and we know that's just not going to happen. So it's a mistake, but they clearly don't care.
I'll go back to the fact that, I mean, I'll agree. He is athletic. He has strength to him. His promos are not his strength. He needs something else. But that match that he had with Cena put me to sleep. I could not believe how bad that was. I thought at first when John Cena was trying to sell the moves, I thought he was pulling an HBK on Hogan. I thought that was kind of a mockery to Roman Reigns at first. And then when all of a sudden it just kept going with hold this, hold that. And it's like, okay, this match is boring. It's not going anywhere. It's not accomplishing anything. I am tired. And it really comes to show that I'm just tired of Roman Reigns. I don't care for his moveset, which is non-existent. I do not care for his promos. I do not care for his matches anymore. I'm tired of watching him get, you know, exalted up to this high level. I really hope that once they get him to the exalted level, it's just, okay, you're retiring now. Bye. Come back once every WrestleMania because we don't need you anymore because we can't book you anymore. So bye. Because he'll have what? If he wins the Royal Rumble, he'll have his third Royal Rumble, which ties him with Stone Cold Steve Austin for most Rumbles won.
He's only won one.
He's won two.
No, he came. He was runner-up against Orton, and he was runner-up against Batista, and Hunter dumped him out third in that right before 32. He's only won the one that
final four, really final two even.
He's been in the final four, I think, every single time he's been in the Rumble.
I could have swore he won two.
It feels like
Like he won two.
Feels like he's won way more than that. But I mean, it's just you're throwing every record at him. Why not this one too? I mean, okay, you're right. Yeah, he's only won one, but it's just I'm tired of seeing him. I really am at that point where I really do not care about watching Raw when he's on the screen.
Yeah, it does get annoying every time he's up there. And, you know, that brings us to the fact that he wrestled John Cena. And I know that Roger thought this was probably the match of the night. So, Roger, what do you think?
Oh, my gosh. This is everything that is wrong with WWE matches, pretty much in one match. Like, Roman Reigns wrestles a heel style. When he's doing those punches and he's just glaring at him, I'm like, this is not how a face acts. Like, there's no energy in his moveset. He stalks around the ring like a big, like, he acts like a heel. It's really strange to me the way that they have him, just his mannerisms. He glares, he throws cocky punches, he trash talks, like, very similar to, like, I guess how Mark Henry was in the Hall of Pain. You know, just a classic heel. And gosh, was that match just so boring. Oh, you know, it was even better. Okay, he kicks out of an AA. No big deal. Everybody kicks out of an AA. He kicks out of a super AA. Not a big fan of that because it is a super AA, but fine. He is one of the top guys in the company, so you can understand he kicks out of a super AA. But no, he also has to kick out of the double AA in a row. So that's four consecutive AAs. And how does he put John Cena away? One Superman punch, one spear. John Cena, he who has kicked out of every single thing. I think he took Lesnar like 16 suplexes and three F5s. Brock Lesnar had to unleash hell on Cena to beat him, and Roman Reigns hits him with one dumb punch and one ugly spear, and that's ball game, folks. I mean, it was so bad, it was laughable. It was a joke, and it's just like, go away. Like, he's not gender, but man, he's at that same level. I'm just like, if you were to be gone for 12 months, I would not care. I'm so tired of Michael Cole hyping him up as the greatest superstar of all time. I'm so tired of Corey Graves, despite being a fantastic commentator and being a heel, having to praise the big dog. Like, It is dumb. Why can't anyone bash this idiot except for John Cena? It's this is Vince's hill to die on, and hopefully he doesn't kill his company.
Yeah, actually watching that match, the first thing I thought was, wow, Roger's going to be mad, because it would be one thing if it was one AA, but if it was a super AA and then the double AA, you're like, wow, what next? And then I was so mad. I was like, well, if he had him with, you know, maybe another spear or hit him with two punches, okay, I get it. But there's no way that, you know, we're not even talking about the, gosh, I can't think of what he calls the thing, Cena's move, his submission move. I keep wanting to call it
the STF.
Okay, so it's just the STF. I keep remembering the old term. So, the STF, he puts him in that as well, and Reigns really hit him with two finishers. I don't even think he hit his drive-by finishing move, or his signature move.
Setup move.
Yeah, I don't even think he hit that, and it was disgusting. And also, Cena, I think, actually saved his life during the match, because he was about to land on his head and looked like Cena actually guided it just so he'd land at least on his neck, so it wouldn't be as bad. But, yeah, I was a little fed up with this match. This really upset me.
I'm glad that Roger mentioned gender and everything like this. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to go ahead and designate my time so that Roger can speak more about this match.
Oh, gosh. When you talk about like big money matches, right? So if you go back and remember, like, let's go back a year and Cena AJ. Remember how hot the crowd was? Like, remember just the intensity, and the crowd was super on fire, and you were like, wow, this feels like a big moment. Roman Reigns versus John Cena, the only time it felt like a big moment was when Cena was just ripping him apart. Other than that, and those Cena promos were fantastic. It was a little bit of like Thugonomics, you know, where he just kind of pulled back the curtain and made fun of his drug test failure and made fun of how bad everything was. And then you got to the match, and they didn't even wrestle the match like two guys who dislike each other, like it was a fight. They wrestled it where John Cena basically spent the first part of the match getting squashed. The guy who you acknowledge is a 16-time world heavyweight champion and allegedly the greatest of all time basically gets squashed for the first 10 minutes by Roman frickin' Reigns. Come on. I'm sorry. I don't see what they see in Roman as a face. If he was being built up as a monster heel, I would get this, because he is the best heel that they have had in this company in a long time. And if they built him properly, they could build a multitude of stars, including Roman Reigns. Instead, you do matches like this, and everything that we hate about Roman, it's almost like Vince is like, I know that you can't stand this, so this is exactly what we're going to double down on. I don't think there was a good spot in this match outside of maybe the spear through a table, which was predictable and okay. This is another one of those matches similar to Lesnar Strowman. The only thing we're talking about is how bad it was booked on the finishers. I can't think of a good spot that I was like, oh, that was really cool. The catching powerbomb was way better when it was from Batista. I mean, it was just, I don't care. I just do not. I'm very much with Doug. I just don't care. Go away. Please just go away and don't come back for a long, long time.
So for me, I obviously echo all your guys' thoughts. The thing that I don't quite understand is, I don't know how you can get Roman Reigns over right now as a face. I don't see a logical way to do it. I honestly don't. I don't understand how Vince is saying, okay, everyone is booing him. We've acknowledged that people don't like him, but we're going to push him as much as possible so that way people like him. And I don't understand what the logic is behind it, because he could be a face in 2 years after he has a heel run. He has to have that heel run. If he doesn't have that heel run, then things are not going to go well for him. They're just not. And people are going to tune out. Whether he likes it or not, yes, we pay for the network. You know what? I have no problem at all canceling every single time, which I do. And I say in there, the reason I'm canceling is because I hate Roman Reigns. And I re-up it, of course, the next month. But I'm hoping that they read that. I really do. Because I cannot stand it. I cannot stand watching these types of matches. And to the point about the finisher spam, I don't like finisher spam, and I agree that, you know, it needs to be saved for very special occasions. But when The Undertaker at WrestleMania has to be put down with three F5s are, you know, is what does it. I think Triple H was at two, maybe three as well, when he finally went down. Roman Reigns, though, one spear. That spear by him is so protected. And I understand, yes, he did the spear technically through the table. But either way, I mean, it is so protected of a move. It is as protected as Jinder's Cobra Clutch, and right now as Lesnar's F5. because that F5 was very, very protective. I don't like it. I personally don't. I think that it actually ruins the experience for a fan. And when we saw that one spear after Cena had done all those AAs, I was thinking, like, no, he could kick out. Like, he technically could kick out, and if they did that, it would be a smart move. And they didn't do it. And we all picked Cena to win because, and I think we all thought the same thing, which was, you know, this feud could be money. They obviously have done really well in the promos. They've done well in the hype part of it. The match itself obviously was well below par, but it just... How many people have to raise his hand and say, this is a good guy, before people actually believe it? Because we've had Daniel Bryan do it. We've had The Rock do it. Now we've had John Cena do it. And we've had Undertaker practically do it by being retired by him. Who else has to do it before he's actually christened by the fans?
AJ Styles.
He already did it.
Nakamura
did it. AJ Styles did it. Nakamura will be there soon. Like it's ironic because their goal is that, oh, if we have him beat all of these guys, you're going to love him. And that's exactly what we hate about him. Like, it's like they didn't, I mean, understand kind of that they didn't get it with Cena because that was always their formula, but you saw this formula get rejected. So why did you go back to it? It doesn't, I don't know the last time that formula has worked to build up the face. I mean, that's the Hogan formula. And I don't think it's worked since then. And yet they keep doing it, and you keep getting these reactions. The next guy that they push is going to be the same way. Whoever is the guy in 15 years when we're talking about Roman Reigns isn't so bad because X amount of guys somehow even worse, it's going to be the same story unless Vince is dead. I hate to say it, but he will not deviate from this formula.
I really thought that Cena was going to win mostly because of the idea, kind of like The Rock versus Cena, where Rock won the first one, but then when it was the title on the line, it became Cena winning. And I really thought that that's what they were going to do here, is they'd have Cena win this, have him go away for a little bit, and then come back at WrestleMania and have Roman Reigns versus Cena for the title, and you can have Reigns hold on to the title, I guess, defend the title at WrestleMania against Cena to get back that one win he just couldn't get. Like, he could beat Lesnar and get the title, and then at WrestleMania, it's Cena, Reigns 2, and this time for the title. Will this be the time that Cena breaks the 16-time or become the 17-time champion? And you could have hyped it that way, but
twice in a having lifetime.
The twice in a lifetime.
You know, I have a way to solve all of this, actually. What they should do is that they should swap Lesnar and Miz for Jinder and the Singh brothers. Then everything works on SmackDown and everything still sucks on Raw.
Then I really do only have to watch one show.
Then you only have to watch one show because no one's going to want to see Jinder versus Reigns, because it's going to be like, whose finisher is going to be protected more?
So just so we're clear, I'm fully of the belief that the entire reason for Jinder's push is that when Roman is going against him, that people are cheering Roman.
No. I think you'd see more people cheering Jinder because they hate Roman that much.
Hey, let me ask you something. The last time that somebody was built up out of nowhere from a jobber to a world champion was who?
David Arquette.
Nope. That's JBL.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
who did JBL lose the championship to at WrestleMania 21?
John Cena.
So they're going to give
Vince
Cena
McMahon
the title.
Does not.
Time.
No, it's Vince McMahon does not deviate from his formula. When he has somebody he's worried about not being able to get over, he gets somebody who's far worse and has them face him. And so, you know, sooner or later, Roman is going to go against Jinder because the fans, he's hoping that they're going to hate Jinder so much because he's also beaten everybody we like that they'll finally cheer Roman.
Or, and I could see that.
Or what if like, that's the main event? Everyone just leaves.
Oh, God. Let's not say such things and move on.
Like, if I was there, like, if we, you know, when it was Triple H, Roman Reigns, yes, begrudgingly, I was going to cheer for Triple H, but I didn't want to. I really didn't. I don't like Triple H as a wrestler. But I hate Roman Reigns so much. Like, it pains me, you know? So, I mean, Reigns versus Jinder, if that was the case, if they went down that road, I don't know what I would do. I mean,
I'd leave.
Hashtag like, cancel the network.
Hashtag shoot myself. You know, I mean, that's where I'm at. You know, like, is this what we got to do? That's my personal hell right there.
You know. I don't want to talk about him anymore, either of them, because I'm fed up with it. But I want to talk about someone who I actually do dig, and that's of course the Miz. He did face off with Double J, Jason Jordan, for the IC title, and this was the opening match of the night. And Aaron, did you think that this was actually a halfway decent match for what they had to work with?
It was okay, but to be honest, I wanted to see Miz with a different opponent. I like the fact that they had the number one contender match a few weeks back where he took on Jeff Hardy. I thought that was kind of cool because it was unexpected. I would like to see something more along those lines. No offense to Jason Jordan, but after the match, they had a promo and people were booing Jason Jordan. You know, I know it was in LA and everything, but people were like, we don't like you. And I was kind of hoping, oh, maybe Jason Jordan's going to show a little heelish tendency here. You know, maybe he's going to say something. He's like, oh, no, hard work, eat your vitamins, say your prayers. And I was like, really? Like, that's the route you're going to go? And it's not like I want all those people to turn heel. I don't. But I was kind of hoping for maybe something a little different, you know, something maybe kind of we could get a kind of a bite on. And this is kind of the theme that I felt with No Mercy, some that Roger and I had talked about, is that they didn't set anything up. This was in comic books, you have the one shots, you know, like this was that basically. It was its own like contained thing because nothing has come out of this. It is a minor bump on, you know, it was a filler pay-per-view, and which is unfortunate. And Jason Jordan didn't do anything to further his storyline. Miz didn't really do anything either. It was just there.
Yeah, but the Miz was so over, though.
And yes, I like Miz. I love Miz. I love what he's done. And he needs to get on SmackDown.
Exactly. That's why I said that I think it's a fair trade with Jinder and the Singh brothers. Bring them over. Bring Lesnar and the Miz over. Because even the Miz Taraj, just bring them over, too. They're fine. Yeah, I thought overall it was actually an entertaining match. It was good for what it was. I mean, that's the best way to put it. This should have been like maybe not a Raw main event, but a second main event, and I would have been fine with that.
I have no problem with this being your opening match because it was something that could be a entertaining because everybody was hyped for The Miz. It's going to get everybody ready at the crowd and crowd into the pay-per-view and everything like that. The only problem I had with this match was the fact that it took the Miz Taraj to beat Jason Jordan. And I do not think Jason Jordan should be protected at all to that point where it takes the Miz Taraj in order for the Miz to beat Jason Jordan. I think he should have just won straight up and just been like, yeah, I'm done with you. And then you can have kind of that Kurt Angle, you know, aspect where yeah he has to interfere to help his son along a little bit, you know, and you can have the Miz call him out on that, but other than I mean, I'm glad that the Miz retained, but because of the interference, you know that this feud is going to continue, and I'm done with it. I'm done with the Jason Jordan going for the Intercontinental title. I think everybody's done with the fact that he's Kurt Angle's, you know, illegitimate son. You had something, you thought about it, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, we, you know, overshot that one. Okay, well, let's go on to the next idea. But no, we're going to push this one down our throats too more. And I'm done. I don't need to do it anymore. Let's just move on to the next match.
This had no, Jason Jordan has no character development. I like Jason Jordan as what he was in American Alpha, which is the hot tag, the big guy, the muscle to the complete package of Chad Gable. But we beat that dead horse. To bring up a point that I thought Doug made a point of, The Miz does not need to cheat to beat Jason Jordan. I have no problem with him cheating to beat Roman Reigns or Dean Rollins or Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins. But, you know, there's something to, like, the idea of, like, one of the things I used to like about Triple H is that when he was built up during that, like, 2000 run, he didn't cheat because he had to. He cheated because he wanted to. Like, he could very easily beat someone who was not necessarily The Rock or Austin, who wasn't on his level, whereas The Miz can't beat anyone clean except for, like, Enzo. And it's one of those things where you just go, well, why should I look at anything that doesn't require some sort of shenanigan from Marie? You know, false finishes don't mean anything when we know you can't win without outside interference. So that's and another thing is that, you know, with Lesnar not being there full time, The Miz is your Intercontinental Champion. Build him up so he can main event these shows while Lesnar is gone. I mean, it's just there's so many things wrong with how they just failed to utilize Miz to his fullest potential. And I'm not even saying he's been booked poorly. I'm just saying that, like, let the man be. Jason Jordan is okay. He is not a main eventer. This Kurt Angle storyline is a mistake, and I think sooner or later you're just going to realize it. And he is not a guy who you're just going to build the company around. So why don't you just let Miz, a guy who can legitimately main event these lesser pay-per-views like a No Mercy, and let him get a clean win here that doesn't hurt either one of them. It's baffling to me how they can just mess up everything at the same time. And this was fine as an opening match, but I'm kind of like, Doug, I'm done with Jason Jordan. Like, I want to see Finn Balor. I want to see really just someone new. Give the Miz someone who's not Dean Ambrose and not Jason Jordan. Give it and let Brooke and Matt Hardy or, you know, you've got a mid card that's stacked beyond, you know, to the end of the world. So let's use it.
And you made a really great point there, too, which is when you think about it, Miz being the main guy when Lesnar's not there, Finn Balor would be an excellent person for him to face because it like that mid card, like you said, it is stacked and he needs something else to do. So even if you had like, you know, kind of intermingled storylines where Finn and Bray wanted the IC title with Miz and Jason Jordan, you know, even though I want to get rid of him. If you wanted to intermingle those storylines, you could make something really exciting there because Miz and Finn, I think, would be fantastic. I would love to see that.
And the thing is, I don't know why Finn is not actually getting the chance because Jordan's getting another chance, you know, in a week to face the Miz again. Well, why not give it to Balor? I mean, Finn needs it. I mean, he doesn't really need it, but he should be showcased on Raw, and he's not. And I think that's something that Raw has missed. I mean, he's the former Universal Champion, and they're putting him with Bray. Nothing against Bray. It's just that's not the proper thing to do with him right now. But, you know, I guess we're going to wait and see, unfortunately. But the tag titles, that was probably, well, the match of the night. And, I was really happy with pretty much every part of the match. I don't think I had any issues with it. Aaron, what was your thoughts on the tag match? Of course, with Cesaro and Sheamus and Shield, two-thirds Shield.
It was a good match. Cesaro and Sheamus put on a good show. I think that they're a serviceable tag team. The only thing is, I do want to see, and this is really, top of the card, like all the way down. I want to see everybody move on to a different feud. This is one that even though it's only been going on really for a month, I'm actually kind of, I don't want to say sick of it, but I just want to see something else happen. And I know it's probably going to go until TLC and that's where they'll have their big blow off match. It'll probably be a TLC match, in fact. But I kind of want to see this go away. You know, it is enjoyable, but it's too much of a good thing can be bad. Too much ice cream can be bad for your tummy. This is ice cream to me. You know, it's going to give me an upset tummy.
This was a match of the night. And I think it only gets highlighted by the fact that Cesaro's teeth get smashed in.
Oh, poor guy. That looked rough, and it was him that did it. That was the thing. It's just
right. And then when you show up, I think it was either Raw or SmackDown, and the guy had a milk carton with missing, and it's Cesaro smiling with his teeth missing. Oh, that was great. Like Aaron said, this is going to be something that, and it's kind of even with the same problem I have with SmackDown right now, with it, where it's the Usos versus the New Day again and again and again. This was a great match. Let's get a new contender. Let's do something. I know you guys don't have much, or Raw doesn't have much of tag teams, you had the Hardys are out. The Revival is out. The only team you really have left is the Club. And I was very interested to see that, or why they didn't make this a three-way match at the pay-per-view because of the fact that the Club looked a little bit, you know, like they were going to interfere or intertwine or something, but they didn't. So you have no new contenders or anything for them to face. So you're going to have to come up with another, you know, one person to put together to face the tag titles? Or are you going to have, this is going to be the Mizraj to rise, and you have the Shield versus the Mizraj, because I know that was teased.
Yeah, because that's a fair fight.
Right. And honestly, it's just, oh, God, please do not do that. I know it's Roman Reigns versus Miz next week on Monday Night Raw for the title this time, but let's not have this a 3-on-3 match, whatever. But, I mean, I guess you could lead it up to a Survivor Series match where it's the Shield and they add two more people and Mizraj adds two more people and it's a traditional Survivor Series match, but I'd rather it not.
So that means they will do that.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, this is one of those things, and this is another point we beat to death, but this is why you don't have two tag team divisions. If you could split these two feuds off, the ones that we just both talked about that I got tired of, and you had Shield 2.0 versus the Usos, and you had the New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus, huh, that's two interesting matches.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You don't split off Jason Jordan from American Alpha. Oh, look at that. Now you've got another interesting tag team to go in there. You don't split away Enzo and Gas. You just turn them both here. Now it's unfortunate the injuries that happened, but it's also because this division's been unbelievably built to be so shallow for no reason. The match was great. I'm not taking anything away from it. You know, this was everything that Strowman, Lesnar, Cena, Reigns was not. This had awesome false finishes. That power bomb is one of the best spots I've ever seen, when he just dropped Rollins onto Ambrose. And I was like, wow, this could be it. And I wouldn't be mad.
Right.
So it was good. I'm taking nothing away from the match, but kind of like Aaron and Doug both said, they both need to move on, but I don't see a way for them to move on. They almost have to stay with one another by proxy. Revival's gone. Parties are gone. That's your division. You only have four teams. The club is not built up as a credible threat without AJ. I don't know. Please don't do Shield Mizraj. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Just don't do that.
It's gonna happen. Just wait. Because
but like how do you even sell it? Like, you can barely make the Mizraj believable against Roman Reigns. You're gonna put the other two, the two that beat this team beat Evolution. Like, what would be the purpose of this?
There is no purpose. That's the thing. They're just gonna see, oh, the Shield's gonna reunite. But realistically, they already have reunited, except that we, you know, maybe there's that one night you want to see, you know, Shield reunite, but then at the end of the night, you're like, I don't like Roman Reigns still. What's the point of this? Because he's not going to get over, because as soon as he leaves them, they're not going to care, unless he's going to turn on them after the match, after they win. That's the only thing I could think of. And then he might get booed, but then people probably won't care. They'll be like, ah, whatever. We figured this would happen. I guess it's only.
Well, he already forgave Rollins. They worked together basically the entire end of last year.
That's true.
So it's not like them reuniting is this big moment before. It'd be one thing if they'd had tension and they were fighting, like Ambrose and Rollins, but Roman acted like a complete idiot last year and was like, oh, yeah, Rollins got my back the whole way.
What do you think would happen if they reunite? I mean, people would cheer at first, but do you think, Doug, let me ask you, do you think that they would boo? Like the next week when they see the Shield come out, do you think they'd boo because Roman Reigns was there?
Next week when, and the only thing I can predict is happening is it's going to be another beat down like they gave Roman this last week. So the Shield will come out. Everybody will be happy the following week when everything happens or whatever their promo is. It's going to be happy, happy, happy. Give Roman the mic. Boo. It's going to be a split decision. It's just going to be one of those. We're going to cheer the other two because we are entertained and we like the other two. But the moment he opens his mouth, it's going to be booze. So if WWE is smart, they'll let Rollins and Ambrose do all the talking and they'll have Roman Reigns be just the big guy that stands behind them and punches people.
But you're not wrong.
But do you think they're going to come out through the crowd and then someone's going to be like, yes, yes, and then Reigns comes down, they're like, this $8.75 beer is worth it if I dump it on there, because I know that someone will give me a high five.
So WWE is about creating moments, right? And their big thing is about, oh, it's all about the moment. Well, if the Shield reuniting is this big moment, why did you blow it last year at Survivor Series when you had them all triple powerbomb AJ Styles? Why did you blow it when you had Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins working together? The Shield has only been gone for 3 years. I think they broke up after 30, and now we're after 33. Is this really that big of a moment? Like, I don't know. I don't care that much. It's not, it hasn't been so long ago. It wasn't Hogan coming back to WWE after 9 years. It's not DX reforming. And it's the Shield who've already proven that they can work together with a face who's not that over in Roman Reigns. I don't know. And maybe if you had them do something unbelievably cool, like turn heel or triple powerbomb Braun Strowman off an ambulance, I don't, you know, it's possible to book it properly. But I think your guys' points are right. Sooner or later, the crowd's just going to go, meh. We're always going to like Rollins because he can wrestle. Ambrose is give or take. Unless they just viciously let them turn heel and maybe just, you know, do a Bullet Club thing where they just go absolutely insane on the other faces. And I just don't see how this is anything more than what they are right now, especially with Ambrose and Rollins playing second fiddle and being the tag champions. Like, yeah, that's not going to get Roman booed.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free set billing, and hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, OffTheMark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off The Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. So the other thing that was actually interesting is how they play the women's match. I thought that was probably the second best match of the night. And, you know, Aaron, where do you think they're going with this? And where do you think it's going to end with Asuka making her debut next month?
So I think that, you know, and we've beat this horse to death about the divisions and how they're, you know, very small. You can only do so much when you have that many women there, you know, and realistically, it was basically everybody except for Dana Brooke and Mickie James that were there, the five women that were. Or maybe Alicia Fox, I guess, is there too. But, you know, either way, the point being, small division. So you're showcasing as much as you can. You teased a little bit of issues with Bayley and with Sasha, which is smart. And, you know, whenever they finally have their big breakup, it'll actually be interesting. But for Asuka, the thing I'm really worried about, and this was my worry with Bayley, is that I felt that they're not going to use Bayley very well on Raw. And I would say for the most part, I was kind of proven right. You know, like at first it kind of looked good, but realistically, I mean, she's getting booed. You know, Bayley is getting booed. And we've talked, you know, on this podcast how she's the female John Cena. She should never go heel. And I think
Sami Zayn.
You know, or Sami Zayn, you know, like she shouldn't go heel. She's going to. You know, like I in my opinion, I think that's the route that they're going to go. And it'll probably be actually a good move on their part. However, though, for Asuka, I'm really worried about her because being Japanese, speaking very little English, you know, people get over on mainstream WWE with their promos. Shinsuke Nakamura, that's been, I think, the thing that's been holding him back a little bit is the lack of promo. And they're not doing the thing that gets him over, which is the ring work. That's what gets Shinsuke over, is being in the ring. You know, he doesn't wrestle almost ever. And I think with Asuka, the thing that's going to get her over is her work in the ring, the stories that she tells without using words. That's what really helps with her. I'm really worried about Asuka. I'm so worried. I'm worried that she's going to get loss after loss on Raw. Oh, hey, you know, Dana Brooke hasn't got a win. Have her beat Asuka. You know, like, I'm worried that that's going to happen. So as far as the women's division, you know, I don't know which one's better, Raw or SmackDown, but I'm really worried about what they're doing on SmackDown.
With the women's division here on Raw, you kind of did, and we all picked Bliss to win. And it kind of becomes one of those things of, after you beat everybody in your division in one match, who do you face? It makes the rumor that I saw before the pay-per-view even more relevant, is They didn't want Emma to take the pin because they want her to look strong so she can face Asuka when she comes here. That's why you put Bayley in there. And it's kind of sad that you have to put Bayley in there so that she can take a pin. That is the state of Bayley in the WWE right now. It is messed up. It's completely messed up. They don't know what they're doing. Same thing with the tag titles is you just need one women's division, whether it be on SmackDown, whether it be on Raw, it doesn't matter. One division, and then you can solve these problems because you can have multiple feuds going and multiple people to step up and take over the number one contendership when you have a five-way match for the title and those five people or four people are defeated. I like Bliss. I like everything that she's doing with the title, her arrogance and everything, and how she wins matches. She's doing a wonderful job. Her ring work probably still needs to be assisted a little bit more, but she is doing everything that you're not going to find Asuka doing. She needs to be Asuka does need to be in the ring. She needs to have that. She has the storyline still going that she's never been beat. She's the, you know, longest reigning undefeated champion that WWE's ever had, everything that's going like that. So you're going to set her up with Emma to begin with to get her, you know, I think Emma might be becoming like the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division maybe. So Asuka coming up is I hope it's a good thing. I kind of wish she would have went to SmackDown, but her coming up is definitely a good thing. I want to see how they do it. I have high hopes for it. I do not think that you need to rush her to the main title scene. You have her beat up everybody, getting to her point up into the to the title scene. But do you have anybody else? I mean, Bliss has beat everybody. Technically, she hasn't beaten Nia Jax, I don't think, in one-on-one match. But can you legitimately have Nia Jax lose to Bliss one-on-one without interference?
Well, you know what they could do is actually to maybe save a Bliss, they could have actually Mickey James beat Alexa Bliss. I mean, that's something you could do.
And there's the sad state of Raw women. Didn't we see this on SmackDown? When Mickie James came back, she already faced Alexa Bliss. I believe we've already seen this. Congratulations. Same story, just on a different show now.
That's true.
Oh, this is Dean Ambrose versus Miz all over again. I'm bored by this. I need new matches, new something. Do something new, WWE. Do something new. I am completely bored with this show.
Okay, let me start off by saying this. I am so sorry, Doug, because I know Alexa is your girl.
Right.
But she's killing this division. And not because of what she specifically is doing, but because they are booking her to be an Asuka, and she's not an Asuka. Alexa Bliss is tiny. Alexa Bliss should be a cowardly heel. Alexa Bliss should be really in a tag team with Nia Jax. Like, those two are the perfect complement for one another, where Alexa does the talking and Nia does the physical work, and you see Nia run her mouth, or Alexa run her mouth, and she hides behind Nia, and that would be great segments. They could do a little bit of comedy. You know, they're fantastic. This idea that Alexa Bliss is this unbeatable champion who can just pin Bayley off of DDTs is like head-scratchingly stupid. Speaking of head-scratchingly stupid, when you have Bayley entered in a match to protect Emma, and I like Emma, but that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. And I believe that's why they did it. But that is so unbelievably stupid. Emma will never reach the heights that Bayley and Sasha did. They just won't. She's not in that class. Her and Paige had a fine match, but it was outclassed by the horsewoman. And the fact that they have booked Bayley so poorly, this stupid extreme thing, and they really booked this whole Raw division poorly, to the point that I want to see Sasha and Bayley and Asuka all go to SmackDown and let Naomi and Natalya and all of them come over to Raw and let them do whatever the heck they're doing on Raw, because they don't understand how to book the women's division. And or they need one division, like we've been saying for the longest time, because it's too shallow. Alexa's beaten everybody in the span of 5 months. she's got one feud left with Nia Jax, and I guess she loses to Asuka after that. But it's like, that's not interesting to us. That's just, Alexa is great on the mic. She's not great in the ring. And while Asuka is great in the ring, obviously promos on her strength. And while you would think, oh, a feud for them can be good, the problem is it's two ships passing in the night. Asuka's not going to be able to do anything on the mic with her, and Alexa's not going to be able to keep up in the ring with her. So that feud's probably not going to be all that special. Unless, of course, you had someone like a Nia Jax backing her, where maybe you could do the Monster versus, you know, Asuka already. But this speaks to the larger problem that we said before. You don't have enough built-up women to be doing two divisions. Like Doug said, I'm bored. I just don't care. I've seen Sasha Bailey too many times. I've seen Alexa Sasha too many times. I've seen all of this too many times. I don't care. I want to see new, fresh, and even if they're matches we've seen before, put a different spin on it. You know, I want to see Charlotte versus Bailey again now over in on, you know, SmackDown, but maybe with a Bailey going heel, or let me see Charlotte versus Asuka, something we've never seen. Give me something new and give me something interesting. Let me see Bailey, or let me see Sasha go heel finally on the main roster. It's just, you know, if you keep doing this, you made it sound like the women were a priority during the Divas Revolution, and yet right now they seem like a priority when you feel like it. But it doesn't seem like you have any long-term continuity going on. And to speak to the travesty of what they've done with Bailey, for them to have proved Aaron right about they wouldn't know what to do with her is sad. Because you print money with her. She will always sell well into the demographic of little girls. And yet you couldn't book her well enough to even not have her do a stupid promo where she's not willing to get extreme enough. It's, you know, when you see the difference between how well they booked her struggle in NXT, not because she was weak or because she was a coward, but because she just couldn't get the job done and she had to question herself, as opposed to their idea of character development is she's too nice and she wants to give everyone a hug. Are you effing kidding me? Like, it's terrible. It's inexcusably terrible.
And I think the other thing too is we don't want to see the same match over and over again. And I feel WWE, and they do this especially for WrestleMania, they feel they have to get everybody on the card. And so they have all these multi-man or multi-women matches. And we don't need to see that, you know. And I think in the case here where it was, you know, a five-way, we didn't need that. You know, if you want to do just Nia versus Nia versus Alexa Bliss, and then all of a sudden Bailey comes back and then it's a three-way, that makes sense because Bailey, you know, she didn't get the match she was supposed to, and then that way you can kind of protect the other ones. But, you know, Sasha and Emma didn't need to be in there. I don't really remember any spots that, you know, Emma had done. I don't remember anything that really happened. It was just like, oh, she's there. So I just I feel that if
story
they don't
of Emma's career,
if they do not salvage this, if they don't make it worthwhile, which they could do with Asuka, they could totally do that. But if they don't, we're going to see, you know, Divas 2.0, basically.
Well, you know, Roger, you brought up the point, of course, they didn't know what to do with Bailey. But hypothetically, could they bring her to SmackDown and maybe let them change her to the way that she was in NXT?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing, right? You get her with some good booking, and you stop booking her as this weakling, and you let her just be an underdog. You let her be the lovable face, and maybe she loses to, you know, who's the main heel on SmackDown? Is it Natalya or is it Carmella? You know, perfect idea. You let Carmella just repeatedly taunt Bailey like a bully, right? Let Carmella be a mean girl, and you just mock her for her losses every time Bailey falls and every time she struggles, and you just let Bailey get taunted. You know, everybody empathizes with the kid who got picked on in high school, right? And Bailey's not the supermodel type where she's like Maurice, where you don't believe that anyone's picking on her because she's gorgeous. Like, Bailey's the type of girl you can understand who got bullied, and they brought it up in her storyline by Alexa. So you let Carmella just mean girl her and mean girl her and mean girl her to the point, and then finally when Bailey gets her revenge, kind of like when Bailey won at Brooklyn Takeover 2, everyone goes crazy because it's awesome. And it's a feel-good moment, and you built up that character. Whatever they're doing on Raw, I don't even know if they have a long-term plan. Knowing Raw, they probably don't. It's just not working. She desperately, much like Sami Zayn, even though Sami's not doing anything on SmackDown, he's better off not doing anything on SmackDown than he ever was on Raw. And that's a sad statement. And I'd say the same thing about Bayley, is that she's better off not doing anything on SmackDown than she is getting buried on Raw.
Yeah, I do agree with that point, yeah. So, the next thing we need to talk about is the Cruiserweight division, the 205 Live guys. And Aaron, Enzo Amore won the title. He defeated Neville. And what do you think with the idea of having Enzo turn heel after he wins the title? I mean, what are your thoughts on this?
So I had said to Roger, I feel like this was the death of the division having Enzo win, because Neville was built up so well, and to have him just drop the title. I mean, because Enzo, the only, I mean, he did that DDT and then he kicked him in the balls. That was it, really. I mean, I don't remember any other moves that he had done. He was getting his butt kicked the entire match. And it was like, really, that's how you're going to do it? You know, like this is it. I will say, I do like what they did on Raw the following night. I thought that was really smart. I am really curious about the writing and how much of reality is going into this. Because not only did everybody from 205 destroy him, but Braun Strowman came out for whatever reason to attack him. Like, honestly, it really did not make sense. Like, if all of a sudden we found out from Neville that him and Braun are best friends and they, like, travel together or something, like, anything, I would have been like, oh, okay, kind of cool. Maybe they're going to do a stable or something. But, like, no, for whatever reason, just came out, attacked him, and then left. It's like, oh. So apparently WWE really hates Enzo. Like, really does not like him.
I'd like to say that Braun Strowman doesn't need reasons to do whatever Braun Strowman wants to do.
No, he doesn't. And maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to just be like, look, we're going to do whatever. We don't care. But I'm really curious what they're going to do with Neville cannot face him for the title. Part of, you know, the clause was Neville can't lay a hand on him. If he does, he doesn't get his title shot back. So they're moving on to somebody else. There's other challengers that are credible that could go after the title. Jack Gallagher never held it. That might be somebody that they go to. You know, and there's others as well.
Jack turned heel.
Yeah, I saw that, which, you know, whatever. Gentleman, Jack Gallagher, who's a heel. Very interesting.
But I'll argue that was actually great for him, because I think that because he was just kind of like he was there and he was great to watch and he was entertaining. But I think making him heel made a bigger, I guess, it made sense to me. But also when he turns face again, I think that'll actually help him in the long term, because I don't think this is going to be where he's going to be this way for a year. I wouldn't be surprised by WrestleMania, if not Royal Rumble, he's already turned back.
It's WWE, so they'll probably do it next week. They'll forget about it.
Big show.
But either way, though, like Enzo, I was a little annoyed that he got the title. I do kind of like what they're doing right now with him. I actually wouldn't mind seeing him hold the title for 2 months and then drop it. You know, like he has a blow-off match at the next pay-per-view, but then loses at Survivor Series. I wouldn't mind seeing that. With what they have been doing with Enzo, I think that they are trying to make him as annoying as possible, you know, and they're succeeding for sure.
I like, at first it was, you know, it made sense for Enzo to go to the cruiserweight division. Putting the title on him right away, I did not like. The best thing that's probably going to come out of this is hopefully Neville will get some respect and get on Raw and do something on the mid card. Because deservedly needs to be there and do something, because he carried 205. And if you're not going to have Neville on 205 anymore, or not in the title run anymore, then use him somewhere else. Utilize him somewhere else. Enzo getting the title, though, I thought was a mockery to everybody else on 205. Here's a guy that nobody likes in the back, and but I did love his promo on Raw. I thought that was great, where he mocked them all. He said, I do more merch sale than all of you combined. And everything like that was actually eye-opening. I was like, I kind of want to I want to watch 205 now. But I do not think that this is a firecracker. This is something that, you know, ooh, ah, for right now. But then there's not going to be anything but darkness. So it'll be interesting to see who they put up next to face him, since it seems like everybody on 205 hates him. So we'll see. The other thing I kind of don't like is that they're trying to give him maybe the Eddie Guerrero gimmick aspect of lie, cheat, win kind of thing. do what you have to do to win. And, you know, that was great when Eddie did it. It was entertaining when Eddie did it. Do not give that to Enzo. He does not deserve the Eddie Guerrero kind of aspect. So, again, I'm, you know, Enzo was funny. I liked Enzo. He was great with Cass. Why they had to break him up, I don't know, but he needs to be back with somebody because he can't wrestle. He can talk, but he can't wrestle.
Let's start with saying rest in peace, Cruiserweight division. It was fun while it lasted. Because let us be clear, this division is dead. You built up Neville as your version of Brock Lesnar of the division. And it was a mistake when Tozawa beat him on Raw with basically no build out of nowhere. And then we thought, okay, maybe they learned from their mistake and that's a one-time deal. And then they'll build someone up to be the guy, because that's what you ultimately do this for, to build someone to be the next guy. And we thought maybe it was Austin Aries. And then we thought maybe it was going to be Tozawa. And then you give it, I mean, you waste it on Enzo. Like, imagine Brock Lesnar, all these wins, and then Santino beats him. Because that's what you just did. You had a guy who's basically a joke. I think to Aaron's point, I think he did two moves. I saw the DDG and the nut shot, and that was it. And I don't know that without Neville, I don't give a crap about this division anymore. You didn't build anyone else up really all that special besides Austin Aries, who was no longer with the company. And you don't have a guy. Yeah, Enzo can talk. That's fine. But ultimately, I'm not going to pay money to watch you talk. I'm going to pay money to watch you wrestle when you're done talking, and he can't do that. So what are you going to do? The guy who beats him doesn't significantly look better because we know Enzo's a joke. You built him up as a joke when Cass kept kicking the crap out of him and making him look like an idiot. I think 205 Live may go the way of Talking Smack here shortly, and it's a shame. I thought they missed an opportunity not to do a second year of the Cruiserweight Classic and really show these guys what they can do. But, you know, Enzo doesn't wrestle like a Cruiserweight because he can't wrestle. And this is the guy who you chose to end Neville's reign as champion, essentially. I don't see any long-term future. And I suspect when a guy who is basically hated backstage and his punishment is to take the Cruiserweight championship, that tells you what they think of the Cruiserweights.
Yeah, that is one way to put it, definitely. Even though I thought that they had one of their best matches on this last 205 Live with Drew Gallic, Tony Nese and Akawa Tozawa. I thought that...
great match.
Yeah.
They can go.
I was like, wow, they let him wrestle like Cruiserweights opposed to letting him wrestle like big guys. I was more shocked about that. But it was a great match. And then Drew Gulak... I find him hilarious. I don't know why. I just find
him. The skit with Brizongo was amazing.
Yes. that stuff is just is awesome. And I'm surprised that they don't let him go at it. And also, I'm wondering what they're going to end up doing with Gulak right now. But just those two guys just going out there, I don't even think there was really a few. They're like, hey, go out there and wrestle. And they're like, okay, we'll put on a match. And I'm wondering if when they got back, they're like, all right, the next match, we're not going to do it that way. We need to do a WWE style, not the way that the fans want to see it, because I tell them what they want to see. That's how I look at it backstage with what's going on. But yeah, but overall, I thought this last 205 Live was great. But the fact you guys are pointing that out about the whole thing with Enzo, but I don't know if they're trying to make him just a heel and see where it goes, or... Because I don't think there's any direction with him. I know that he's hated backstage, but what else? Why, if you're hated backstage, why do you say, oh, here's the Cruiserweight title? Thank you. I just don't understand that part.
Just so more people hate him backstage, and it's going to bring out the better competition, right?
Yeah, or they'll say, well, we had to let Enzo go, so, we're going to have to get rid of the Cruiserweight title. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. They may try that crap, but I think there'd be too many people upset about that happening.
But also, I mean, good for Neville. The good thing about this is Neville getting free of the Cruiserweight division, because he deserved a lot better, in my opinion.
But I agree. And, he's somebody that would be good for the IC title. You know, he really would. That'd be a good feud. I would love to see. But as far as the cruiserweight division goes, if I was the one that was in charge of it and they were like, hey, you got to save it, I would probably get rid of 205, you know, and I would make it so people would just seamlessly transition in and out of that division. It's 205 and under, but that doesn't mean that you are supposed to be stuck in there. You know, you use it like the X division was in TNA. You make it very simple where Neville, it could challenge Finn and he could say to, you know what, Finn Balor, I'm the Cruiserweight champion. Yeah, this isn't for the title, but I want to challenge you, you know, or vice versa. You know, you can do things like that. And right now they're not giving them that option. And instead it's just you are self-contained in this and that is it. And we're going to have one match on Raw, you know, for whatever reason to try to promote the show. But it's pointless. It really is, in my opinion.
And the fact that they're on the road with Raw, and then they also have to go to TV tapings on Tuesday, they're constantly on the road. I would not be surprised if some of those guys do work like a 4-day work week on Raw, then leave, and they only take who they need to 205 Live. I wouldn't be surprised if they start doing that, but at some point, you got to give those guys a break. You can't have them go 5 days a week. And then, you know, on their off days are considered travel days. Come on. Anyway, so.
They also, speaking of divisions they need to figure out, they also don't seem to know what they're doing with the UK division. So you got two floundering divisions. You might as well just combine them at this point. Because you're not doing anything with the UK title. Last time I think it was defended was Chicago.
No, nope. That was NXT did it.
Oh, did they finally do it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's had one title defense since he won it back at Chicago 3 months ago? Yeah. I mean, that's bad.
But they also had a really good tag team match, you know, because they have four people from the European Championship tournament.
Are they finally back on TV? Because they were gone, I thought, forever. I didn't
see that. Yeah, they had Mustache Mountain versus Wolfgang and
Pete Dunne.
And then they had Pete Dunne versus Wolfgang for the title.
Because actually, that's one thing where, like, I thought Neville should have been mixed in with those guys. Gallagher, I know they had the match. Like, if you would have mixed a lot of those guys between them with those two divisions, you know, instead of 205 Live, let it be 205 in the UK show. Let it be a mixture of both of them. Have that cruiserweight style and that British heavyweight style, so you've got two different types of matches.
They could have actually had their own show, realistically, because then you could have showcased the cruiserweight title as your heavyweight title and then your stepping stone, if you want to call that, for the UK title as well. You could actually have those two, and that's actually what they really should do. And honestly, 205 Live, let's just say it, put it, let's have them tape it, you know, like 3 or 4 weeks at a time, down at Full Sail, and then maybe possibly put them back on the road. And I think you'd see, I think there would be things different. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this month's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, Doug Hunter, Roger Cave, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, see you in the ring.